Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Thursday to you. And you know what that means. How was church last night? We had a great midweek service here at Bible Baptist Church, and God met with us, and we just had a wonderful time. And it seems like it's always just what we need right in the middle of the week. And I hope your church service was that way, and that you were there, you were a blessing to your church and to your pastor, and most of all, that God spoke to your heart, and that you were given just what you needed to keep on going for Him this week. Now, I wanted to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is often called the love chapter, but I think that's a misnomer. It's the charity chapter. Love is not mentioned in this chapter, but charity is. And I know because of the decline in our language, charity now doesn't mean what it meant in the Bible, but we ought to know Bible words by Bible definitions. And here, God could have used love. He said, God so loved the world. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said in 1 John 4:8, God is love. He could have used love here if he wanted to, but he didn't. He used charity. And so let's talk about a little bit about this charity chapter here today, all right? Notice 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. When I was in college, I read a book about it was called In His Steps. And it's basically about a congregation that was put to the challenge not to do anything for 1 year without first asking, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in my situation? Several people from different walks of life took the challenge for 1 year. And I'm not talking necessarily to endorse the book, though if you've never read it, I think it'd be good. But it does bring me a real question, and that's this. Is Jesus seen in me? Is Jesus seen in my life? There's a song that says, when the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me, what do they see? Do they see hope? Do they see love? Do they see charity? When the world looks at me, what do they see? Now, no doubt about it, the church at Corinth was a very troubled church. The reason was it was a fleshly church. That's not my opinion. That's what the scripture teaches and tells us. They were a carnal church. That means fleshly. They were more concerned about themselves than Christ. My preacher, my works, my rights, my way, my gifts, my spotlight, on and on. And now Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lets him know here the most important thing is charity. Charity is that benevolence. It's the goodwill. It's the disposition of heart that makes men think favorably of their fellow man and want to do them good. You see, love says, I will willingly, sacrificially meet the needs of others or give for the benefit of others with no thought of return. But it has nothing to do with my feelings. That's why I can love my enemy. If he's hungry, I'll feed him. If he's naked, I'll clothe him. If he's thirsty, I'll get him something to drink. I'm going to meet those needs. That's love. But charity goes beyond that, and where I want the best for that person. I think favorably of them. That's charity. And the truth is, you could substitute Jesus in here for that word, for the charity. Just where it says charity, put Jesus in. Verse 4, Jesus suffereth long and is kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus vaunteth not himself. Jesus is not puffed up. Jesus does not behave himself unseemly. Jesus seeks not his own. Jesus not easily provoked. Jesus thinketh no evil. Jesus rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Jesus never fails. And the same is true in the first two verses. So I speak with the tongues of men of angels, and have not Jesus, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I mean, Jesus fits that word perfectly. The world doesn't need more great orators. It doesn't need more great benefactors. It doesn't need more great singers. It doesn't need more great social programs. The world needs Jesus Christ. Now, what does that look like? I think it needs Christians who will look like Christ so Christ can be seen in us. Now, Christ will be seen in me and Christ will be seen in you when we follow 1 Corinthians 13. For example, when we suffer long and are kind. It means to endure an injury or a provocation without being filled with resentment or revenge. It means I don't retaliate or promptly punish. We suffer long and is kind. It's being betrayed as Jesus was, falsely accused, beaten, scourged, spit upon, nailed to a cross. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you've been wronged and you suffer and others inflict pain on you and you forgive and you're still kind, that's Jesus in you. Suffer long and is kind. When the world looks at you, do they see Jesus? Envieth not. That means I'm not upset because someone else received something. But more than that, it's I'm not upset because someone else received something that I felt I should have received. Well, they were asking a special. They were recognized for work that was done or service was given. You see, envy is that disgruntled satisfaction with your house after you just visited one that was twice as big. Envy, someone said, is the absence of happiness for a friend who just passed you on the ladder to success. What's envy? It's finding stones to throw at the church up the street that's growing faster than your church. What's envy? It's hating your brother or your sister because they seem to be your parents' favorite. What's envy? It's a lingering resentment that you can't sing like she can, or play sports like he can, or paint like they can, or teach like he does, or write like she does. Don't envieth not. And then it says it vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Don't get puffed up when others praise you. Never think you are big and others are little. Paul, who wrote half our New Testament and was caught up into the third heaven, he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. No, you know what Paul wrote? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, that puff up, that it means to manifest pride or self-esteem, means to blow up. Means you're blown up out of proportion. Conceited is when you're proud over your position and you see yourself as superior to others. The truly great person never thinks of his own importance. Napoleon said this, quote, I'm not a man like other men. The laws or morality do not apply to me, end quote. Oh, but that's not how Jesus was. He would say, suffer the little children to come unto me. And a couple times in the New Testament, during his ministry, this phrase is used, the common people heard him gladly. Don't vaunt yourself. Don't get puffed up. And number 4, he doesn't behave himself unseemly. Always appropriate, never out of place, not off color. Our standard is not the community. Our standard is Jesus Christ. That I'm not going to embarrass the community. I'm not going to embarrass our Lord Jesus. I'll weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. I want to be appropriate. And then it says he seeks not his own. I don't desire your own pleasure or profit. Don't seek something for yourself at the expense of others. My way, my needs, my wants, my. No, charity seeks what's best for others. A story is told of the communist and the capitalist walking down the street. They see a man driving a Rolls Royce, and the communist said no one should have a car like that. The capitalist says everyone should have a car like that. Seeks not its own. Not easily provoked. That means you have a long fuse. See, when Jesus is in control, it corrects the sharp tongue. It corrects the grievous words that stir up anger. Has they mocked him and led him about? He answered not a word. Oh, the Bible says he could have called 12 legions of angels to destroy the world and set him free. A lady once came to Billy Sunday and tried to apologize for her angry outburst. She said, "There's really nothing wrong, though, with losing my temper. I blow up and then it's all over." And Billy Sunday looked at her and said, "So does a shotgun, but look at all the damage it leaves behind." And then it says, "It thinketh no evil." It means I don't suspect evil in others. I'm not suspicious of others. I don't imply evil by innuendo. You know, Jesus knew Judas, and he knew what was in Judas's heart. But Jesus still called him friend. A disposition to find fault with others is an evidence of evil thinking. A disposition to complain of ill treatment received from others is another evidence. Don't get into that evil disposition of thinking evil of others. When you think you've been neglected, when you think you've been hurt. So many times people, we live in this world of trouble and we want to even the score somehow. In other words, they're always overlooked. Nobody cares about them and their opinion as much as they deserve. They begin to question the purity of other people's motives. And they can't believe that their friends or their neighbors or the other Christians are really who they profess to be. It seems natural to them that since they're dishonest, everybody is dishonest. But that's evil thinking. And we're so ready then to hear evil about someone else. Don't allow yourself to originate an evil report or take up and circulate an evil report. Don't just speak evil. Don't even think evil. The Bible says here he thinketh no evil. And then it says he rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. I put a veil or cover on sins, but listen, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And like Jesus said, let him without sin cast the first stone. Then he says he bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's all things. Now think with me. Christ does all these things, does he not? He is the truth. And so if I live 1 Corinthians 13, people will see Jesus in me. And people will see Jesus in you. Will others see Jesus in you? Hey, when the world looks at you, do they see Jesus? Remember, it says charity never fails. What that mean? Jesus never fails. Let's be like him. Let's ask, may others see Jesus in me. Let's live 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me, what do they see? I pray they'll see Jesus in each of us. Have a great Thursday, everyone. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.